Good morning, and welcome to the Kind of Funny Morning Show midweek. It's Wednesday. It's middle of the week.
It's Wednesday, my dudes.
We're here. We are approximately T-minus 32 hours until Thor Ragnarok.
What?
Now, I promised myself I wouldn't talk about this in the morning show because we've got lots of news, but I'm going to say I'm very excited. And we are doing Reacts tomorrow night.
We are.
Which will be up. I think so.
I'm so excited.
I hope so. Hold on. Let me finish this tweet. I got to start doing these tweets a lot earlier.
Yeah.
There you go. It's out. Everybody, if you want to see my tweet about this morning show, there you go. You don't really necessarily need to because we're already talking. You're already here, already with us. And
clearly,
I love you.
You already know.
Thank
but
you
for all
for
the
watching.
Other people that don't know,
we're here. We're live. We're ready to rock and roll here at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Today's morning show, of course, is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/store. Where you can get all the brand new t-shirts, including the Kind of Funny Games Daily Tee, which Cool Greg is currently wearing right now. Cool Greg, get in here. Show the people what that t-shirt looks like on your bodice. Are you eating pumpkin pie for breakfast? God
yeah.
Damn, I love you. You're an innovator, sir. You're an innovator. You can also get the Party Mode shirt, which I love. I love these two shirts.
I think they're great.
We've got the baseball tee if you're a baseball fan, of course. Andy's not here to give us the sports update, but it's my understanding that the Astros completely won last night, right?
No.
No?
No.
They lost.
They lost.
We're going 3-1. To game 7.
It's game fucking 7.
So the Dodgers finally stepped it up. Is that what I'm hearing?
Don't say that.
Why do you hate the Dodgers? You used to live in SoCal.
Yeah, but I was born in the city and I grew up in San Francisco.
But
my
everyone,
uncle used look, to be a bat boy for the Giants. I'm pretty sure I'd get kicked out of my family if I liked anybody other than the Giants.
But you have to understand it has to break down like this, okay? Town, part of your state.
No.
State.
That's not how rivalries
country.
Work.
Do you understand
That's
that?
That's not how rivalries work at
Town,
all.
Part of your state.
I fucking so it goes mean Andy, you're so bad.
NorCal, California, rest of the country, world. Okay.
No.
If it's us versus the Martians, you go fucking Earth. Team Terra Nova, you know what I'm talking about?
America versus okay. Team.
So my thing is this. While I appreciate that Andy is from Texas, some part of Texas that no one's ever heard of.
Nobody
and
does.
He can support the
RGB,
Astros.
We don't play no games.
Or he likes Chick Hearn or whatever, and that's the reason why he wants to support
it's not
the Dodgers.
UCLA.
I don't know. We're Cali, baby. We're West Coast, best coast.
Okay. Best coast.
When I don't like the Dodgers that much either. I was an Angels fan back in the day. I used to live in Anaheim.
But he walked
in
away
Garden
from
Grove,
world.
Which is the neighboring town to Anaheim.
I'm aware,
when
yeah.
they won. Okay.
2002?
Yeah.
When they beat the Giants?
Yeah. It was awesome.
No.
It was awesome.
Okay. Whoa. What side are you on now?
I'm on the Giants side now. I'm not.
Right, so
I'm on California side, is what I'm saying.
I'm hearing a lot
okay?
of flip-flopping.
Oh my God, it's crazy how much.
I'm on California side. It boils down to this. Number one, top slot for me. Who do I love? I hate baseball.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So
you're
that's
the keeper
the top
of
slot.
Nine things today?
I'm the keeper of six things today.
Okay, six
one.
Things. Yeah.
Whether or not Blade Runner 2049 is a good movie, it mm-hmm. is. And it bombed, we'll never see another one. It's okay, we'll wait 30 more years and they'll try to figure
we'll
out how
to reboot it again, it's fine.
Two, whether or not The Departed is a good movie, and by proxy of that, 2.5, whether or not Alec Baldwin should be in every movie. Which is funny because
Alec
those
Baldwin
are actually conflicting,
be.
Right? I don't like The Departed, but I do agree that Alec Baldwin should be in every movie.
No, they're not.
I actually think Alec Baldwin was one of the worst parts of The Departed, but I think he's also one of the best parts of The Departed for comedic relief, because he's always sweating and bumping into shit. Okay. Four, we leave room for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And five,
Lil Jesus.
We got Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Pump, Lil B, and Lil Jesus. They're all hanging out. They're making a fucking mega rap.
Whatever happened to Post Malone?
Post Malone's like doing his own thing.
Okay.
Post Malone's over here.
Okay.
Right? He's down here just making fucking hits.
Okay.
And beating up in the Hollywood Hills. Feeling like a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Five. What were we playing? Baseball. Whether or not I like baseball. I don't like baseball. First off. Second off.
How do you have any authority on this?
Because
on giving
I'm
shit
hosting,
for my
because
rankings
I'm hosting
on
the
teams.
Show today, and that's what I find entertaining, ma'am. Entertaining. I will say this. I mean, obviously, I love the Giants, right? I've lived mm-hmm. in San Francisco for the last 10 years. I've lived here when they've won the last two of their championships. Three?
Yeah.
They did three?
10, 12. 10 12, 14.
Right, fantastic. Cool, that's how much I know. But it was also very electrifying and exciting to live near Anaheim when the Angels were winning. Basically, I'm a fair weather fan. If I'm near a team and they're winning, I'll root for them, right? I'm one of those assholes that everyone hates where I'm like, go Giants, fucking love whoever's playing for them now.
But I don't feel like you're the fan that, like, then becomes like decked out in Giants gear and is like at the games like, oh, the Giants are great. I think it's fine to root for the team.
No,
that's,
I'm not
like,
I'm not a Golden State Warriors fan.
Oh.
Oh.
See,
shit.
I'm not one of you guys people who have never talked about the Golden State Warriors once in your life until 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When they started getting good and all of a sudden everyone's wearing Golden State Warriors hats.
Yeah.
It's like, where were you? You know, my boy Mike P's been on that train for 27 years, yeah. and finally he gets his comeuppance, and everyone around him, he has to witness everyone around him being Fairweather fans. Yep. That's not fair.
That's my cousin. You know? And then she, in order to like combat all that, she wears her like old school Warriors jersey before they did the rebrand, and then it's like,
there you go.
That's how you know you're
a fucking G.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're Post Malone, you know what I'm talking about? Over here just doing his own thing over here, being his own man. I love that song so much.
Oh, wow.
Run-up show today, we've got the cleanse continues, of course. There are more allegations of sexual harassment in Hollywood. Not a great time to be a sleazeball in Hollywood.
No.
I just wanted you to know that.
I'm happy about that.
I'm happy about that as well. I'm glad. But we are coining the phrase, the cleanse.
The cleanse.
We started it yesterday. The cleanse continues today as well. We have some new Infinity War details. That'll be a lot lighter. And the 1989 Batman.
What?
It's amazing how often we're able to talk about 1989 Batman.
It's weird because you would think working alongside me, we'd never talk about it.
Never.
Never. It's weird that I can somehow find a way to work that into almost every conversation.
It's a gift.
That as being the best Batman movie ever made. Which Greg Miller himself, the Batman aficionado, Mr. Super Batman, would agree is the best Batman.
Is he really the Batman aficionado of The Office?
He's something. Some would call him the aficionado. Others would call him a psychopath. Nice.
Both have valid arguments.
Mm-hmm. Joey, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
I like
for
when,
having
you,
me.
When you co-host the show with me.
It's super
fun. It's
fun.
We're going to have some intellectual conversations about nerd shit today. It's going to be great. Before we do that, let's get into quick housekeeping things. Of course, Extra Life is this weekend. It's going to be great. If you want to go support ahead of time, go to go to teespring.com/teamkindoffunny and you can buy the Kind of Funny Extra Life shirt for 2017 or the hoodie, which Kevin wore yesterday and looks really, really cool. I like that too.
Yeah, I like that a
There's
lot.
There's lots of cool shirts.
Fuck, yeah.
I'm gonna get myself a tank right there. I'm wearing that tank right there. Boom! Wearing that
fucking
tank.
Nailed it.
Tank, because you know it's freezing now, so
yeah,
it's the right time for a tank.
It makes the most sense.
Of course, we will be streaming all day Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. That is a 24-hour stream. Why, you ask?
It's actually for the 25.
Kids. For the kids.
Doing it for those big, beautiful kids.
Those big, beautiful kids. Did I get those times right?
10 a.m. to 9 a.m. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it's 25 hours.
We get an extra hour.
Oh, we get
it's
an extra
hour? 23 hours.
No, we...
Spring forward, fall back.
Fall back.
Spring forward.
So it's only 23 hours. We cheated them. We cheated the kids, Kev. We won! We won. Anyway, join us on Saturday when you can. Obviously, you don't have to stick around for the whole time unless you're Zyger, which I'm sure he'll be in the chat the entire time. Zyger, no.
Last year he fell asleep.
Did he?
Yeah, sissy.
Did he? I don't think he did.
No, I just like talking shit. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
We do. We like talking shit because he can't talk shit back to us. We don't have a chat or anything like that you can be a part of right now.
We don't read any of that.
Go figure, Zyger. But yes, join us. We're going to have lots of fun. We're going to be playing games with people, I assume. I might watch the UFC fight at some point, not on that stream, but as a parallel stream, potentially on my Instagram and or Twitter.
On the Instagram.
That might be
video
Nick
blog.
Night. Did you watch my story last night?
I did not.
That's okay. It was like 15 episodes.
What did you do last night?
I went to jiu-jitsu last night.
So
oh, yeah, because you there was a big debate yesterday of what you were going to do with your
life. What I was going to do, right? And so here's what happened. I'm a member of this Facebook group that charts and, like, it's a community for all the aspiring comedians around. It's basically, it's called the Bay Area Comics Network. Bacon, for short. Which, first of all.
That's awesome.
Shout out to that acronym because I love bacon. You guys know how much I love bacon. I'm not even going to get into that, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and talk bacon to you like I'm going to talk the 1989 Batman to you when we get to the fourth news story.
Okay.
But I will say, I don't pay attention, close enough attention to Facebook.
Yeah.
So when people post things there, if for whatever reason it doesn't resonate to me. So the person who hosted the mic that I was supposed to go to last night clearly wrote a post that said, hey, I'm canceling this, with a picture of like, a picture and everything. Like, it was all there. Hey, I'm canceling this because there was a big showcase at Punchline last night for all the local comedians to go in costume and go perform, which I didn't realize until it was too late. And I was like, okay, so I'm gonna go to jiu-jitsu and then I'm gonna go to Mike afterward because I've been having trouble getting all of my like extracurricular activities in line, you know, because they're all happening at the same time and you have to show up early to all of them. So I went and I waited and then it occurred to me, maybe I should check that Facebook page one more time. And I did, and I saw that again. I was like, oh, you're an idiot.
Damn it.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
The good news is I didn't waste that much time. I had a Red Bull and I sat next to someone who smelled a little beefy. So I was going to tell him too, but then I was like, no, other people should enjoy this man's beefy smell. He smelled like a rancid Enchirito from Taco Bell.
Oh, that's a very specific smell.
That's bad.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Then I got in my car and then I realized, what is it, him? Or did I just finish a 2.5-hour long jiu-jitsu class and maybe I'm the beefy one? But I don't
we'll
think
never
so.
Know.
We'll never know.
The world no one will ever never know. Know.
My shirt from last night might know. But other than that, we don't.
Yeah, we'll
no one
see.
Will know. Just a quick reminder, we will be reading tips later if you want to give us a tip based on anything I've said so far. Or our upcoming news stories, or you just want to say hello to us, we'll read tips at the $5 or above level, or 500 bits. Am I saying that correct?
Yeah.
Bits.
So you can also earn bits or buy bits, or they're like Microsoft points, I think. I don't know. How do the bits work?
You can buy them, like, or you can earn them by watching ads.
So watch all the ads possible. I assume if you're a subscriber, you get ad-free, though, right?
Yeah. But you can, like, voluntarily watch ads.
Okay, that's weird. I'm not going to encourage people to do that, though.
Yeah.
If you're already giving us $5, you do not have to watch ads.
You know who could watch ads?
Cool Greg. Could just be sitting watching an ad right now, but instead he's eating pumpkin pie off his tummy.
No, Nick Scarpino can watch ads because you're not a subscriber to our channel,
Listen,
Nicholas.
Joey, when we talked yesterday and we agreed that you'd host this show, I said, I won't bring up the fact that you're a raging alcoholic if you don't bring up the fact that I'm lazy and have yet to subscribe to my own channel.
We never had this conversation, and I knew that you were going to bring it up anyway.
It was the implied subtext of the Slack thread that we had last night. Do you understand me?
Nick, I also read that from the implications.
Exactly. See, Kevin did.
Kevin's the worst.
My God, there was a moment last night when it was you and me and Greg trying to figure out this morning.
Yeah.
And someone said something. And then there's always this shocking moment where I realized Kevin's also on the thread.
You know? Yeah.
Where Kevin replies and I'm like, oh no.
He's also reading this.
We're all gonna get brought down to Kev, big old Kev Dogs level.
It was funny.
It was not, the funny part is, like, I'm reading all this as I'm, like, at a bar drinking. I'm like, this is not faring well for me.
Did you go to the Foundry last night?
Yeah, it was really fun. So, Grimecraft was DJing, Alana was DJing. The Foundry is just really fun, and, like, CJ, who runs it, is super awesome. He was there and dressed up.
We
met some kind of funny best friends.
That's great.
Mitch came around and talked with us for a while.
Mitch Dyer?
No.
Oh.
One of the best friends that lives in San Francisco.
Better Mitch. We'll call him Better Mitch.
Yeah. I've never met Mitch Dyer. So
Mitch Dyer is Canadian Mitch.
Canadian Mitch. Got it.
Better Mitch will be whoever the... What's up?
Nothing. Has nothing to do with you.
Okay.
This is off also. I don't know how it works. Do we just do this? Do I swipe?
We got it.
What if I threw it like a discus?
It would probably break.
Okay. So yeah.
I would make you buy another
one. Who else came? It was me and Andy and Danny and Robin. I don't, not that many drinks.
Okay, so you don't keep track is what you're telling me, right?
No, I also won a bet with Marty, so he bought me drinks. So.
Oh, I see.
Marty also a raging alcoholic.
Yeah.
And just throw that out against the wall and see what sticks.
Are we allowed to joke about that?
No, we're not.
I'm pretty sure it's in his Twitter bio that he's like a functioning alcoholic.
That's libel, yeah.
Barrett and Alyssa were there. It was like a good crew of people.
That sounds fun. I probably should have done that instead of
going
to a bar.
There.
Yeah. Like a lame dick. Just not even.
We took some pictures. There was a photo booth. Played some Mario Kart.
Some Mario Kart? That's fun. Are you playing Mario Odyssey?
I just downloaded it last night and then I fell asleep before it started.
You can't say it that way. It's not how you say it.
My family's from New Jersey, sir.
Are you
from
New Jersey?
No. But my grandmother had a brother named Mario. And it was Mario. He was actually cousin, excuse me. We always had a cousin Mario. There was always cousin Mario.
Yeah.
Now, I never met cousin Mario, but that's how you say the name. Mario is like some weird Americanized co-opted version of the name.
But that's the name
and
of
I'm
the
fighting,
character.
I'm fighting for my cultural beliefs. My cultural heritage.
But this is the worst.
I am the worst. I'm just goading you. I don't care how you
call
it.
I know. You and Kevin, well, more so Kevin, will just like goad me into an argument, and then I'll just hear a little voice from Andy over the computer. It's like, Joey, just stop.
Oh, Andy. Always the voice of reason. He's our Pomeranian. We love him.
I think he just hates the fact that he's like he's in the
crossfire.
He's
stuck in the middle of all of it.
Yeah.
We put his desk right in the middle of you and Kevin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I don't
so
miss him. I hope he's sick every day.
He's not sick. I think he's just working from home.
That's why he works from home because he gets less done when we argue about stuff, which is quite possible.
That's fair. I have this. When I used to write the animated show, which, by the way, the last episode coming up in November.
It's really good.
It's a fun one. I used to have to stay home or go to a cafe because trying to get anything done in this office is just, it's impossible.
Any, like, writing stuff that I have to do always happens after everybody
leaves. Yeah, it has to. It has to happen.
Nick, it's a lot easier if you just keep your hands to yourself.
Kevin,
it brings up a good point.
I keep my hands to myself.
No?
I do.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
It's just.
Is that my song?
Sometimes Kevin comes in and he flaunts it. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Next story.
How relevant is this? let's go into the news real quick. Brett Ratner is the latest to be accused of sexual harassment in Hollywood. This story is actually a follow-up story to that. That says, after Brett Ratner harassment claims, Warner Brothers is, quote, reviewing the situation. Ratner has a first-look deal at the studio and also is a partner in Rat Pack Dune Entertainment, Slate financing vehicle that covers a broad swath of Warner Brothers films, including the recent tentpole Wonder Woman. The story reads, in light of the allegations that Brett Ratner sexually harassed and forced himself on at least six women, Warner Brothers is scrambling to deal with the fallout. Quote, we are aware of the allegations in the LA Times and are reviewing the situation, said a Warner Brothers spokesperson. Ratner has a first look deal at the studio and also is a partner in the Rat Pack Dune Entertainment Slate financing facility that covers a broad swath of Warner Brothers films, including the recent tentpole Wonder Woman. According to the Los Angeles Times story that broke this morning, the director slash producer has been accused of sexual assault or harassment by six women, including actress Olivia Munn and Natasha Henstridge, who detailed their experiences with Ratner to the newspaper. Henstridge claims that Ratner forced her to perform oral sex on him in the New York apartment in the 1990s. The actress, then 19, the actress, then a 19-year-old model, was hanging out with the then video director, watching TV. Henstridge fell asleep, and she told the New York Times, or LA Times, that when she woke, others had left, and she was alone with Ratner. He blocked the exit and began touching himself, she tells the Times, and then forced her to perform oral sex on him. By the way, I encourage you guys to go read this LA Times story. Olivia Munn's side of it actually leaked a while back, if you remember.
Yeah. Someone in the chat was saying 2011.
Yeah, she wrote a bunch of essays. Olivia Munn, this actually is from the LA Times. She wrote, I think, a bunch of essays about her experiences and called out a director who was a big sleazeball to her. It came out that she was talking about Brett Ratner. He had some choice things to say about her. They went back and forth. And I think the story basically died on the vine at that point. People were like, well, he's a shitbag, but whatever. It wasn't too terrible. I'll read her recount, her portion of the tale right now. Olivia said that while visiting the set of 2004 Ratner directed After the Sunset, when she was still an aspiring actress, he masturbated in front of her in his trailer and when she went to deliver a meal. Munn wrote about the incident in her 2010 collection of essays without naming Ratner on a television show a year later. Ratner identified himself as the director and claimed that he had, quote, banged her, something he later said was not true. The same year the book was published, Munn ran into Ratner at a party thrown by Creative Artists Agency, and he boasted of ejaculating on magazine covers featuring her image, she told The Times.
Oh, not good. He's
really... it goes on to detail other accounts of him, but, not looking good for old Brett Ratner now.
No. But I kind of like that all these shitty people are getting outed of... Can't get away with shit like this anymore.
The cleanse continues.
Yes.
And not only does it continue for Brett Ratner, but it continues in another heartbreaking way for Dustin Hoffman.
Which, yeah.
So this is a story that is just, I encourage you guys over to read. This is over at The Hollywood Reporter. This story is written by guest columnist as Dustin Hoffman sexually harassed me when I was 17. This is the account of, I think her name is Anna Graham Hunter, who talks about her time spent as a PA when she was 17 on Death of a Salesman, the movie Dustin Hoffman was filming along with John Malkovich and a few other notable actors, and Miller as well, the guy who wrote it. Yeah. Arthur Miller, excuse me, was also there as well. This is yet another example of like just the culture.
Yeah.
And not only the culture of Hollywood, but I think the culture of business through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s to now. Again, I think I encourage everyone to read this. This is actually very fascinating because the picture she paints is one of being very conflicted. She talks about how she actually still to this day likes Dustin Hoffman a lot and found him charming, but that he just acted inappropriately and didn't know where that line necessarily was, right? Because she goes on to say he was a pig, but I loved him. And that was... I think this is generally the hardest thing for especially younger people to understand is that, you know, you always want everything to be very black and white. And in certain situations, it's just not black and white.
Yeah.
Of course, this picture notwithstanding, that is black and white. No pun intended. But you know what I mean? Like, so I encourage everyone to go out and to read this because I think it's a very unique and interesting perspective. There are times when you can be around people that you like, but that can still do bad things or treat you poorly. And you have to be able to navigate those waters.
Yeah.
Especially as a young adult, especially as a young person, whether you're male or female, because you're going to be constantly put in situations where there are people around you that have more power over you, and you need to really understand the dynamics of those situations. Yeah. So I think an article like this goes a very long way to give shed some perspective and some light on that. Mm-hmm. I encourage everyone to go out there and read this, and read it with an open mind. Because I think a lot of times, too, myself, I get defensive because I'm like, oh, this is, you know, yeah. I'm a guy, and I would never want someone to accuse me falsely of this. Mm-hmm. But get beyond that, read it for what it is, and internalize it. That's what I would encourage everyone to do.
And I think it's hard to, at least, like, when reading these stories of, like, I don't know, it's hard for me to now be able to watch Dustin Hoffman stuff. I think it's a little bit easier when it's like executives and stuff that you don't necessarily tie right. strongly.
It's difficult
to their
when it's Kevin
products.
Spacey or Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, and you're like
Brett Ratner. I don't really care if Brett Ratner.
Yeah,
like I don't view him as necessarily a public person. I've liked his movies, by the way. It's notable. Like I love Rush Hour. I love that series.
Yeah.
He's been a producer on a lot of huge films. I believe
but when he's not like a face of right. like, the movie, it's like a little bit harder.
It's a little bit easier to be like. It's to disassociate yourself, even though he probably had more to do with a lot of the movies that we love than the actors themselves.
Exactly.
So it especially sucks that he has his hands, I'll rephrase that he had a hand in making Wonder Woman, which obviously is the complete antithesis of what these stories are portraying. So it'll be very interesting. It'll be very interesting because I feel like now is the time where a lot of people are feeling very comfortable at least to come out with these stories. And I really hope there's a real change being affected.
Yeah. Like, my wish is that people in general would be better to each other and maybe not being shitty. If the only way to get there right now is, like, through fear of being outed as, like, a sexual harasser, that's not, like, I would much rather people just be good people. But if it's, like, if that's the way to get it to stop of, like, you don't want to be outed and for your actions, and like, I don't know, I'll take that.
Yeah, I think it is a first step.
Yeah.
It's not a great first step. It's not the way you want to necessarily inspire people to change. But I think that it shows a lot of younger people that, hey, you need to be good to each other.
Yeah.
Growing up, there is a way to be successful, to make art, and to still respect people around you.
Exactly.
And I honestly think, I'm a firm believer that if you can cultivate that culture for any of your productions, the production will be better. Mm, it will be better. Because mistreating a PA is still a member of your team.
Yeah.
And that person's job is still relevant, and that person's job is still adds to the overall value of the production.
Yeah.
And so if they're not feeling comfortable being around you, if you're making someone uncomfortable in that way, they're not gonna do their job right and the production will suffer. Mm-hmm. So taking out the morality of it and the ethics of it, from a sheer business standpoint, you just can't run, you can't create that environment for people.
Yeah.
Or else your business will suffer. So it's a lesson learned on a lot of fronts for me.
Interesting.
Not necessarily that I didn't learn that lesson, but it's a nice reminder that hey, if you're cultivating a culture of assholes, everything's gonna suffer.
Yeah.
In that regard, right?
It's not gonna be a fun team dynamic to work on. Yeah. People are always gonna have that in the background of like when they're working on their job of like, oh, I don't wanna do it this way because I don't wanna interact with that person and like
I've seen a couple comments, and this is something that I think needs to be addressed as well, that people are talking about, well, a lot of these women are coming out now after they've had successful careers, and they've exchanged that physicality for success. And that argument is flawed in that, yes, some people have had to endure these things to move forward, but a lot of these people coming out now are doing that, like a lot of the careers that are being built now by younger women are built on the shoulders of these women that suffered these abuses, right?
Yeah.
And so you can look at them and say, okay, well, you stayed silent because you wanted to get ahead in Hollywood and hand shame on you. That's not what's happening. What's happening is they've endured these hardships that others don't necessarily have to.
Yeah, them paving the way for the next wave of people.
And so, you know, when you start really like go through and read this Dustin Hoffman article, and you'll see what people need to necessarily go through. When forced with either like back in the 70s, 80s, early 2000s, all the way up to that, your choices as a person who doesn't have power are either put up with it or you don't get to work, right? And if you can't work, you can't affect change from the inside. If you can't affect change from the inside, you can't affect change, period, right? No one's going to listen to someone just ranting and raving on the internet about how horrible Hollywood is if they've never actually been in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They don't have the understanding. Like, they don't have that perspective. They don't have that expertise that they bring to the table. And so it takes a lot of balls to come out and write articles like this, and a lot of balls to speak out against people like Brett Ratner, who have a ton of power. This guy had $500 million deal with Warner Brothers to finance movies, right? This is going to hurt everyone's career involved in it, period, flat out. But, you know, they have to do it. There you go. Yeah. Glad it's being done now.
Agreed.
Blade 7 Runner says, I'm done if Spielberg goes down.
I know, I just read that too.
You know, I mean, but that's the thing. There's a culture around this, built around this. And we need to understand that, and it needs to change. That's just straight up. Like, I used to work in LA. I never faced, obviously, like, I only worked as a PA in probably what was the most liberal office on the planet, which was I used to work for Jodie Foster's production company.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know
that. And it was her and all of her coworkers and business partners.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's Jodie Foster. Like, at no point was I facing any level of abuse because was super cool, and she cultivated an environment of people who were, like, very progressive and very much empowering people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'd hear stories, and when I was a PA on sets, you'd get abused, of course, because you're a PA, and you're the person who has to clean up the trash and do everything. But I never had anyone in a position of power hold my job over me for sexual favors.
You mean abused, not, like, in a sexual way.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was abused, but abused is that's the wrong term. People just expected me to work more than they probably should have, which happens, and that's another big problem in Hollywood as well.
Yeah.
That's a separate issue, right? You have stories like the people who are getting car accidents on the way home from 18-hour shoots because they don't have proper transportation, and there's too much being asked of them.
Yeah.
That's a whole separate issue.
Yeah.
Right? Still an issue that needs to be addressed, by the way, because I also believe you can't run your crew 18-hour days for 2 months straight and expect anything good to come out of that other than everyone hates each other and someone might get hurt. But so there's a culture in Hollywood that desperately needs to change. And I honestly think that that's one where if you can't affect it, I think it's one of those less is more kinds of things, right? Where when it comes to working too hard, if you can, like Clint Eastwood's a perfect example. He runs his productions, it's like a 10-hour day. He runs it like it's a job. People go home afterward. And he scales the production accordingly. And I think that's a better way to do it. And obviously, he's had films like Million Dollar Baby, or is that what that film was called? The Hillary Swank movie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
got nominated for Academy Awards, Gran Torino, all these films. Still good movies, but he found a way to cultivate that environment where people felt like they were checking in at 8 o'clock, done at 6.
Yeah.
Go home, you can have a life. And they come back reinvigorated, and they can bring that energy to the production.
Yeah.
Versus, I don't know if you've ever done... I think the longest I've ever done was, I think, three. I did a commercial shoot one time that was, like, 3 18-hour days. And by the fourth day, I was a fucking zombie. I was a zombie.
Yeah.
How does anyone get anything done?
And, like, quality of, like, the quality must, like, deteriorate pretty quickly if that's the kind of schedule that you're running of, like, work done on the first day compared to the last day.
Yeah.
Of, like, if your crew is, like, a walking zombie.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to push. But every single time, like, when I've done
things... when that becomes the standard, I think, is
when it becomes the standard, but it's also one of those things where, like, you have to look at yourself as the person in charge of the production and say, what did I do wrong
here? Cool Greg, can I get some more coffee?
Ooh! Cool Greg, why don't you load up a piece of pumpkin pie for us? Nah, I'm joking. I can't do that. I can't do that right now. That's the hard thing, right? And, like, of course, it's easier said than done. When you've got to, like, if you're doing commercial shoots or you're doing corporate shoots, you have a client that calls you the day before and says, I need this.
Yeah.
Right?
When
or
it's like
on set and everything's great and you're like, everything's going well, and the client comes to you and says, hey, you remember that the actor that you've been using? We can't use that person. We have to shoot all that stuff again. So you have to go into overtime, right? And your crew gets compensated, of course. But then, you know, I've been in situations where I've been on, like, it's cold, I'm on a rooftop, and my makeup artist is like, I have to be back here in 8 hours.
Yeah.
And although this is not a union shoot, where there is an ethics issue here where I need to drive home for an hour, sleep for a while, and come back here. And so it becomes an issue of people's personal safety at that point. But so you're very conflicted. So at those times I've said, okay, we have to push, and unfortunately I have to ask more of you than I'm comfortable asking, and you have to be cool with that. But then afterward, you have to do a real hard look at your, like, post-mortem on the whole production and go, where did this go wrong? How could this not...
How can I fix this for the future?
Now, granted, my way of fixing it was saying, I'm not going to do those anymore. I'm going to start an internet company where all we do is screw around. And, of course, if we want to go 24 hours, we go 24 hours. It's up to people, but it's all shenanigans. You know. So take that for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Take that for what it's worth. A lot of people in the comments saying, Nick, but you abuse Kevin. That is a different story. Mm-hmm. That is a different story. Right? Kevin loves it. He loves the abuse. It makes him stronger.
Not really abused. Where he also.
It's not. It is worth clarifying here that I've had conversations with people where we run jokes.
Yeah.
We all talk off camera.
Oh, 100%.
And go, are we cool with everything that's happening? You know, yeah. Is it cool with the jokes or with you know, the quote unquote, you know, massive abuse of Kevin by all people? And Kevin is like, whatever. Yeah. He's fine with it. As I'm putting words in his mouth, he's not talking. I like how he's sitting. Oh, no, he's silent right now.
I have said that. I am fine with the jokes.
There were jokes that were happening and didn't fly, and you noticed those aren't around
Kevin,
anymore.
All of a sudden, Kevin starts crying. I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, I mean, and that's true. And you know, that's the thing. That's the thing I ask myself here, where I'm like, we are, for lack of a better term, comedians, right?
Yeah.
We come here, we bring jokes, we try to bring levity to the situations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say crazy things or inappropriate things. The intent is never to offend. The intent is always to entertain, right? Yeah. The intent is always to provide a little bit of perspective, a little information, and a lot of entertainment for the people that are watching us.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, I'm like, are we crossing lines? And when we do cross lines, am I creating an environment where people feel they can come to me as the person who is an owner of this company and say, hey, this can we back off these things? My hope is that I am.
Yeah.
But if I'm not, you know, that's something that needs to be.
Yeah, I feel like I've never felt the need to come to you about like, oh, this joke. And even like going back to like the Joey's an alcoholic joke, I was like, you can joke about it. It's like, I don't find it offensive. So it kind of goes both ways of like.
Got it.
It weren't like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like we have a very open dialogue in this office.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times when I've been offended, like by shit that Greg said or by shit that has been said about me. But, you know, that's one of the, I mean, I can remember conversations where I'm like, hey, can we back off this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And we back off. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But that's also, you know, that's the hard thing about what we do is that line of, specifically for me, is sometimes I get a little bit overly sensitive with things. Maybe I'm tired, maybe I haven't eaten right, maybe I'm not. So that line always is like, you have to ask yourself where that line
area.
Is versus where the line is of other people, and that has to line up, and if it's not, you have to find a way to rectify that.
Yeah.
I think that's the best, most positive environment. We've talked a lot about this. Let's go into slightly lighter news. So before the audience is like, Jesus Christ, Nick, why don't you get off your pulpit right now. Avengers, Infinity War. Is a heist movie about stealing Infinity Stones. This comes from IO9. Let me find this article on my thing. The time has come for Thanos, the biggest bad in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, to fully enter the scene in Avengers Infinity War. Josh Brolin's villain will be after the Infinity Stones, and if he wants them, he's going to have to steal them. This information comes directly from the Russo brothers, who were directing the film courtesy of an interview on CNET. When asked about the Russo's penchant for playing with genre, Anthony, one of the Russo brothers, said, about this up-and-coming third Avengers movie, quote, with Infinity Wars, the biggest new element in the movie is Thanos, and the fact that he is entering the story is in a very bold, strong way, to the degree that he's almost one of the leads. We've shaped an interesting narrative around him that in some ways leans heavily on a heist film, in the fact that he's going after the Infinity Stones in a much bolder, successful way than he has in the past. Which, remember, in the past, he said other people do his bidding, and now he's like, screw it, I'll do it myself, I'm Thanos. I sit on a throne in space. No one can fuck with me.
I can't trust anybody else to do this job.
Yeah, clearly when you try to get Lee Pace to do things, he just puts it in his stupid little hammer and then lets the Guardians of the Galaxy steal an Infinity Stone from him. What a loser. This quote goes on to say, the entire movie has that energy of a bad guy being one step ahead of the heroes. We looked at a lot of movies that had the heist-style energy to them and brought some inspiration. I think this is great.
I'm super excited. I love heist movies.
I love heist movies also.
So, heist movies plus the idea of like all of these people being involved, I think.
Pretty cool.
I know.
I definitely don't have the worries about this that I have with some of the other franchises that are coming up. But I look at this and I think they've built up to it. I think it's going to be really cool. I think the Russos are definitely the people to do this. They've told some of the most outstanding stories in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Totally.
I look at this and I'm like, this is going to be fun.
It's going to be real. Unlike Last Jedi,
where I'm very trepidatious. I'm like, I hope it's good, but.
I feel like I like the direction that all of the Marvel movies are going of like, I've really enjoyed all of the Guardians movies. I think Thor Ragnarok looks like it's going to be awesome. And like, if this is the next step of like all these characters doing a heist movie, like I'm sold.
We're in. Good job, Russos.
It's like crossing all of these superheroes with Fast and Furious. Which is essentially, those are all heist movies
look,
now.
Here's the deal. If you use Fast and Furious as your framework upon which you build your movie, I'm all in. You know, to put it in a car analogy, you know, you got to have a nice, new, cool chassis a good frame, a good sport frame that can endure the sheer amount of horsepower you're about to pack in under that hood, right? Yeah. Good frame allows you to corner more, right? Allows you to go faster.
Yeah.
That's what the Fast and Furious scripts are. Basically, all I'm saying is this. Russo Brothers, if you're watching, of course you are. Why wouldn't you? This is the most popular morning show ever built on Twitch. Just watch Fast and Furious 5 and then just remake that movie over and over. In fact, just use The Rock. Just bring The Rock in as Thanos next time and just do what you're going to do.
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it be good?
The dream.
I love The Rock. Did you see that story about Zachary Levi being Shazam?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, why don't you just make The Rock Shazam?
The Rock is Shazam.
I know he's Black Adam, but the man is a living Shazam.
Yeah.
Like he's like a childlike, beautiful person with childlike wonderment who is also a hulking beast of a human being.
Yeah.
And he's got a beard now, and that makes him cool.
I miss that.
Well, go to his Instagram. He's got a very like gray beard. He's looking very like old and distinguished.
But
he's got triceps that are bigger than Cool Greg.
Oh,
not your triceps,
I do dig the
just
beard.
You. They're actually bigger than you.
I like that.
I like it a lot too. The Rock is just a beautiful human being.
Yeah. And he's one of those people where I'm like, I think you're legitimately a good dude.
I would, yeah. He's one of those guys that at least he's done a lot of good.
Yeah.
On a personal note, you know, following him on Instagram and seeing him actually just share personal anecdotes and stories and just inspirational thoughts on life, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, that's a really powerful, beautiful thing to do with his 10 million followers on Instagram, right? Where I follow him. It's hilarious because I follow him and I follow a guy named Dan Bilzerian.
Oh,
and they
those
are
like
polar opposites, right? Yeah. Dan Bilzerian is like,
the forever playboy.
He's the forever playboy. He's that guy that has that make-believe world that he's created that everyone just gets that fantasy fulfillment from, myself included. Like, I look at him like, oh, that'd be interesting to live in that life.
What's he famous for? Like, what did he do?
He's a gambler.
Oh.
He's a professional gambler. Apparently, he's made millions of dollars gambling. I heard him on a podcast one time. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he was almost a Navy SEAL for a while. And I guess he just started gambling and got really good at it and made a ton of money and then just decided to start posting pictures of himself living this outlandish lifestyle that he leads. And he'll admit that part of it is obviously for the fun and the entertainment of providing those images for people and having them live vicariously.
People always are interested to know of like how the other half lives, quote unquote.
Well, yeah, and so I think he's leaning into that. I think he's playing into that a little bit. Like he's, like spoilers, a lot of the women that he's around are, he didn't just randomly be like, hey, let's go hang out. I'm sure there's a deal there in place where they get to hang out with him for fun and you know, be a little bit, and take some of those risque pictures and make him look like he's the biggest playboy on the planet. But then every once in a while you get a slow-mo shot of him firing a fucking squad automatic weapon in the desert in just American flag underwear, and you're like, all right, you got me, Dan Bilzerian. You got me back. But he's the polar opposite of The Rock to me.
Oh, is yeah.
The Rock actually could live that life if he wanted to, but chooses to live a life of discipline and making cool movies and touching people's lives in a non-sexually creepy way like Bilzerian.
Exactly.
It seems to.
Well, it's interesting, too, of, like, we've talked previously about, like, Pauly Shore and, like, all these actors that, like, never made it out of, like, their thing. And so it's interesting to see The Rock, like, fairly frequently, I forget that he started out in wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, he's been able to adapt and evolve to, like, the way that the industries have changed.
He has, and I think he's done that in the it's one of the things that's fascinating, because obviously I spend a lot of my nights around aspiring comedians and people who are trying to build steam in their career. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I take away from The Rock is that The Rock is multifaceted, right?
Yeah.
If The Rock never made another movie, he would still be culturally relevant because he's got this amazing following on social media.
Yeah.
He is this person that a lot of people look up to. And so his sort of cultural relevance is not one of just a movie star. It's one of a movie star and a person who, you know, is the epitome of physical fitness, but also is the epitome of being a good guy and shows all that. Like, if I never watched another Rock movie, I would still love this man just from being on his Instagram and seeing him work out. And he pushes me to work out.
Yeah.
I see him doing fucking tricep workouts and I'm like, I gotta hit it harder. I gotta hit it harder.
And he's up at like 4 a.m. every day. And like,
I mean, I'm not doing that ever.
No.
I'm up at like 8:30 every day. If that. Sometimes I sneeze a couple times. I'm not gonna lie. Last news story. Let's go into it. Just when you thought I couldn't make the 1989 Batman relevant again, Danny Elfman comes to my rescue. Danny Elfman confirms that he will bring back his classic Batman theme for Justice League. Now, there was a story a while back where he was talking about, obviously, he stepped in for Junkie XL and Hans Zimmer, who stepped in for Hans Zimmer with this franchise. He talked about how he was going to play around a little bit with the Superman theme, if you remember that story.
Okay, I don't, but...
He did. It was a while back. Now he goes into talks when asked about the Batman theme. The internet... Well, I'll just read the story, actually, before because I'm not smart enough to have highlighted the paragraph that I wanted to read. The internet all but exploded when news broke that Danny Elfman would be replacing Junkie XL as the composer for the Justice League, which is understandable as Danny Elfman created one of the most iconic superhero themes of all time. Aside from John Williams' Superman score, no other piece of comic book music is as memorable as that of Tim Burton's Batman. Elfman created a piece of music that has been synonymous with the Caped Crusader ever since, and it looks like that iconic theme may be making a return. Hallelujah, there is a God. Big ups to little Jesus. In an interview with Reporte Indigo, Elfman was asked if he would be using his classic Batman score for Justice League, to which the composer replied, quote, "You will hear Batman's theme for Batman." Batman had only one theme. And it's true. He did have a theme in The Dark Knight that went slant, 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 right? Come on, son.
I think it's a fun way to like tie it in for people that have been fans of the franchise over a long period of time. Of like, it doesn't have to be the exact like note for note, but to like tie it into some new pieces, I think is cool.
Well, this is my question for you.
Okay.
And we'll go. This is the deep dive topic for today.
Ooh.
Right. What should they be going back and playing on people's nostalgia with this by using elements from older films to bring into these? Because by all intents and purposes, the 1989 Batman and the Justice League movie have zero to do with each other.
Yeah.
Different Batman, different universe, different storyline.
Yeah.
They're not together. So is it weird to bring those elements in? Or is it like a, why the fuck wouldn't you? Yes, we should absolutely use that theme. It's awesome.
I get what you're saying with like keeping them separate, but I don't think anyone's going to go see Justice League just because they're going to tie in like part of the Batman theme. Like, I don't think that's pulling on the nostalgia strings as much as other things have done.
No, I mean, obviously Justice League, people are going to see Justice League because they want to see Justice League. It's going to be a big movie.
I think it's a fun, like, if you have been a longtime Batman fan and you know this theme because you love 89 Batman, I think it's a fun, like, little, like, fan service-y kind of thing.
But does it become an does it become an element that is out of place? Anachronism? Why can't I say that word?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for instance, I hearken this back to Skyfall, right?
Okay.
Skyfall, of course, being the third in the Daniel Craig Bond series.
Yes.
They started off with Casino Royale. They went into Quantum of Solace that we won't talk about. Then they go to Skyfall. Everyone loves Skyfall because they started bringing all those elements in from the older Bond movies. My problem with it was they were out of place because this was supposed to be a reimagining of the Bond series. Those elements weren't supposed to have existed in it. So when they went back and they saw the old car that had the fucking headlights that turned out or had the machine guns in the front, I was like, where did this come from? We have not set this up. This universe is not supposed to exist. It therefore feels out of place to me.
Yeah. This is hard because like I'm not like a huge Bond fan,
I'm just saying if you hear the 1989 Batman theme in a new Batman that's not that Batman, is it going to be weird for people? Is it going to stick out like a sore thumb?
I think if they play around with it and it's not the direct theme and they tie it into something where you hear like a few notes here and there, or it's like tooled with
a little bit. That's what he's hinting at, by the way. He's hinting at when he was talking about the Superman theme. He was like, we're going to just screw with it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I heard, I'd be like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that. Oh, it's so good.
And I think it's like a matter of like not overusing it and using, and I think Danny Elfman is like brilliant. And I think that he'll do it in a tasteful way that's not like every time you see Batman on the screen, you hear this.
Right.
And it's like really nailing that home. But I think in choice scenes in it that I imagine will be in this movie, like, I think that'll be really cool.
I'm excited about it. I'm all for it. I know it's going to probably stick out like a sore thumb, but you know what? At this point with the Justice League movies, let's just try something. Let's try some other stuff. How about that? We'll see. We'll throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
I have tempered expectations for this.
Well, don't.
And I'm hoping. I think that's what's hard is like Wonder Woman kind of like, oh man, I liked this. I'm kind of into it. And I feel like that bumped up my expectations.
All right.
And I'm trying to like rope them back in. for Justice League. But Jason Momoa, man.
You love this Jason Momoa guy. I
love Jason Momoa.
You love him.
I know. He's so beautiful.
It is.
I feel like every time I'm on here, I talk about that video where he just like fucking throws an axe and then chugs a beer and is like, what up? I'm like, damn, that was real hot.
He's such a dude, bro.
Yeah, I know.
He's such a dude, bro.
But I'm like kind of into it.
Well, good for you. Good for you. You know what I'm into?
What are you into?
Tips.
Tips.
Tips and cheers, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time of day. If you've tipped us at the $5 above level or given us above 500 cheers.
Yep.
Is that how that sounds?
Yeah.
We will read your comment. Thank you so much for doing that. We love the support.
The chat right now. Who doesn't love Jason Momoa? Thank you.
I don't like Jason Momoa that much. No. I just have never I've never seen him and been like, I'm really inspired by this guy's acting ability, right? He was Khal Drogo in a season and then he died, whatever. Spoilers. And then I didn't see the Hercules movie that he did.
No.
I don't really know. As Aquaman, I'm like, I don't know.
Here's the thing. He hasn't
blown me away yet.
I don't think he's like a phenomenal actor in the things that I've seen him in.
I put him in the same category as a Vin Diesel, where it's like, you're going to make fun movies.
But here's the thing. I also feel like the Aquaman character, probably not that far removed from Jason Momoa.
Yeah,
so I feel like he'll probably be able to nail that pretty well.
So you feel like the day one, Zack Snyder's like, listen, Jason, here's the inspiration.
Yeah.
You are a king of a kingdom. Mm-hmm. You have royal blood. Mm-hmm. You need to have an heir of royalty to you. And he was like, all right, man.
Listen, and Zack I have Snyder's a different direction.
Yeah, and Zack Snyder's like, okay, let's try this. Let's try the script real quick. Your first line is, I will stop you, evildoer. And he goes, hang loose, bro. And Zack Snyder goes, I give up. You just play the role.
You do whatever you want to do. And you just play a surf bum,
who like a reject from fucking Point Break. And that'll be good.
Jason Momoa in a Point Break? I know they already
just
made
just stop imagining Jason Momoa and everything. Let's read some tips real quick. Sub-Zero 1115 says, Nick, I got free advanced screening passes for Daddy's Home 2. I did what any person would do. Deleted
the
email, snapped my phone in half, and threw it into the Long Island Sound. Or you could have given those to someone who appreciates fine cinema. Have you seen the poster from Daddy's Home 2?
No, but I watched the commercial when I was at my parents' house this week. My mom was like, this looks great. I was like, oh no.
Mrs. Takagami, you got great taste. Great taste. You're like, this guy, you like Daddy's Home 2? Boom, you're a winner. Yeah. Lakers head, 2432 says, hey, I know, but I like to give him shit because he's not a Warriors fan. Remember, West Coast, West Coast. Wait, did I just make fun of myself?
Yes, you did, 100%.
I did just make fun of myself. Lakers head 2432 says, hey, Nick and Joey, hope all is well. The reason for my tip is to ask you what I can do to earn Cool Greg's respect. On the Monday show, I learned that apparently Cool Greg doesn't respect me. Thanks. I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to be a diehard fan of the Warriors, and you have to have been that since birth if you want to learn his respect. Or you have to share his love of the top five hip-hop artists, which are Jay-Z. Who else? Jay-Z's number one. Who else was yours? No, I can't remember. Is Lil Uzi Vert on there somewhere? I don't know that. I can't remember. Go to Cool Greg's Twitter bio and you can find his top five people. Maybe you can start. It was one of your tweets. Mr. Yasman 300 has given us another tip and says, Nick, a new Daddy's Home 2 trailer got released. Here's the link if you want to see it. I will watch that in the privacy of my own office. Because no one around me respects fine cinema.
You don't have an office.
That's 100%
so true.
True.
I have a small desk. It is right by Greg, and I have to stare at his stupid trophies the entire time. Joey.
Yes.
Would you like to take care of P.S. I Love This Best Friend XOXO?
Oh, sure. Let me see if I have that open. And guess what I do?
Yay. Sorry, I threw a curveball there.
No,
you
knocked
totally it out of
fine.
The fucking park.
P.S. I Love This Best Friend XOXO. Nick.
What is that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's your opportunity to nominate someone in our community you feel is just being an outstanding human being. You can go to kindoffunny.com/bestfriend, fill out that form, and we will randomly pick one person and give them a little shout out on this here morning show. Just like
Scoptimus 7 is shouting out Mad Ludwig 11, aka Eric. Many a year ago, Eric first introduced me to IGN, Greg, and subsequently you guys.
Sorry.
Now, what?
I'm just saying, apologize. Oh.
Now, many years later, we love being part of this community. This past weekend, he proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Liz, and now they're engaged.
Yay!
So I thought I would send them some hashtag sweet nasty love on our favorite daily show. Congratulations,
yay.
Eric and Liz, on your engagement and pending nuptials.
I'll tell you one thing right now. Didn't expect to like being married. Love it.
5 years in, I would hope so.
It's really grown on me.
Kevin, Eric, how do you feel about being married?
It's pretty dope.
Pretty dope.
I get to stay with my wife all the time.
That's cool.
It's very true. It's weird. Have you adjusted to it yet? Because you have to adjust to saying fiance.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then you have to just say,
and that's weird
because
that's such a small, usually, amount
excited.
Of time compared
was
to the other
year for me. How small that was.
Oh.
We got married, we got engaged, and then we had a long engagement, about a year. And
mine was a year and a half.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I have my fiance and my fiance. I think it's cool. And then I said my wife.
And then you have to remember how many E's goes on which version of fiance and where
yeah,
the accent.
I never bothered.
Are
I just
there
said the first
versions? Like, is there a reason for the versions?
One's like the male version,
get
and
the
one's
fuck
the
out.
Female version.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, it's double E female version?
Yeah.
I
French man.
I think there's an accent time. Somewhere in there. But
on the first
yeah,
E.
On the first E.
French
well,
man.
Now that we've established the ground rules for that, let's go into the next segment, which is the giveaway. Ladies and gentlemen, each and every day, we reach into our little grab bag of game codes that people are nice enough to give us, and we give one of them back to the community. How do you win? Well, there's four different ways. One, this is a live show. We do this show every day on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Why are there so many flies in here? 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, West Coast, Best Coast. All you have to do is be in the chat, and you're automatically entered to win. You can just be there, hanging out, be like, Nick's a great guy, Nick's a scumbag, it doesn't matter. Or if you want to amplify your chances to win, you can be a Twitch subscriber. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free Twitch Prime subscription each and every month. You got to renew that thing. It's a pain in the ass. Amazon will eventually give in. We're fighting the good fight, and they'll automate it. Probably not. Because they want us to keep reminding you guys to get Amazon Prime. But for those of you that remember to do it every month, we really appreciate that. It really does work. If you don't want to give it to us, make sure you go on and give it to someone. Don't be me. Don't be a lazy a-hole. Go give it to someone. I'm not lazy. I'm running a company. It's just,
no, you're
you know,
lazy.
How it goes. I am lazy.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Do it.
There's two other ways. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Support us at the $2 above level. You get all the perks of the $1 and above level, $1 level, which is you get early access to all of our content, including Cooking with Greggy, which I believe the last episode is up on Patreon right now.
Went up on Patreon on Monday.
Right. Chorizo chicken.
It's
spicy.
Or if you're on Kinda Funny Games, you have next week's party mode available right now.
And it is terrifying. It's one that actually made
so
Joey yell in the middle of the office when she was looking through it to do some social stuff.
It was terrifying. So Andy showed it to me. I screamed while they were recording Gamescast, and then I was listening to Gamescast, and I heard Greg be like, Joey either found spiders or Kevin touched her, which made me laugh.
There you go. We told Kevin
I'm
not
pretty
touching.
Sure I came in while you guys were recording that, the Five Nights at Freddy one, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure we all screamed at the end. I didn't even finish watching the Let's Play because I was laughing so hard, and I couldn't do it.
It's really
entertaining.
It's a good one. Today's giveaway, we are giving away the game Slay Away Camp on PS4, which I assume is a horror game.
Yeah, it's like this like puzzle horror game. It looks really fun. I was trying to figure out what it was. And I actually am like super into it. Perfect for...
Well, you know who else is going to be super into it? Kinda Funny Games patron, Steven Finchevsky. Great last name. Finchevsky. That's like a character in the story mm-hmm. that like, while the main characters are struggling, he's just out there partying. Man, I wonder what Finchevsky's up to right now.
Oh, that's a good last name.
That's a great last name. I might steal that for a character name one of these days. Congratulations, Steven. You have won. Check your, if you're watching right now, check your inbox. If not, you're gonna get a surprise. You got a surprise coming your way. Speaking of Stevens, everyone's got a friend named Steve, right? You got a friend named Steve. I got a friend named Steve. You probably got a friend named Steve, too. Tell him we were talking about him on the morning show today. Tell him he's come
Steve
over here.
The Steve 9X says he said my first name.
There you go. Steve, go tell your other friend named Steve that we were talking about all Steves. Yep. This is an all-inclusive, all-welcoming Steve party mm-hmm. here on the morning show. So if you have a friend that wants to watch that, just tell him we're talking about him. I've run this joke into the ground. I'm going to stop talking now. We're going to go into the old 3-3. We'll take 3 questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, or compliments from the chat, and then we'll go to the golden few, the chosen few, the golden children, the subscribers. We love you guys the most. We love everyone, but you guys are our favorite children. Let's see what people are saying in the chat. Damn you, Steve, you won, says Leo the Collector. Glitchbox also says I'm a Steven. Wow, there's a lot of Stevens.
We have a lot of Stevens.
A lot of Stevens. Is everyone named Steven? Is this today, is it Steven Day? Aaron Roots 427 just says Steve Zaragoza.
I love him.
You like Steve Zaragoza? Yeah, he's a cool guy. I've met him a couple times. Good energy. Kyle's O. Cole says, Nick, have you ever watched the UFC embedded vlogs they upload to YouTube? Has awesome insight on fights during the fight week. I have not. I'll check them out. Thank you for that. Mark the Designer says, have you heard of Stranger Things? It's this new show on Netflix. No, never heard of it, although I'm excited.
Did because you finish?
It's date night tonight, and I get to watch the last two episodes with
them. Oh, that'll be fun.
So we're excited. We're going to work that out. Yesterday she texted me. She's like, you don't happen to have a bowl of candy at your office, do you? And I'm like, I do. Why? She's like, ooh, don't bring any about.
We've been what having about a problem Oreos? With that.
No, Oreo. We OD'd on Oreos the other day.
Really?
Yeah, we went out and got a package of golden Oreos, and they were stale.
Oh.
But we ate them anyway.
Oh.
And by the way, when Oreos go stale, they don't go crispy. They go chewy, and it's disgusting. But we ate them.
They go soft.
They go soft.
D-Danger 10 says, Joey, how was your Halloween night? It was really great. Went to the Foundry, which we've done some events at before. Mm-hmm. Watched Alana and Grimecraft. Spin some tunes.
Who was better?
Played some Mario Kart. Alana played Benny Benassi, which I liked. I don't think we even made it to Grimecraft's set, to be totally honest.
Mm. Before the alcohol kicked in?
No, before we left. A few of us went and got food and hung out and argued about Harry Potter. So, all in all, pretty good night.
What's there to argue about? It's great.
We were arguing whether or not the Horcruxes were something that J.K. Rowling knew that she was gonna and like write about in the first book. Alana and I said yes, Marty said no. So we had that debate.
Interesting, interesting, because the Philosopher's Stone is a Horcrux, right?
Yeah.
And so I wonder if she had them. I would bet that she just kind of was like, I'm gonna flush that out a little bit.
The Philosopher's Stone isn't a Horcrux, is it?
I think it was, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
That was the Resurrection Stone in the ring.
Oh no, I'm sorry. The Professor was a Horcrux.
Professor? No.
No, Harry's a Horcrux.
No, he was just a like little fucking scary ghost.
But he was part of the Professor. I thought there was a Horcrux in first one.
The Professor was just, had like given his body to be like a host to this like what was left of the spirit. I
gotta go back Harry Potter.
I know, that was the thing we decided is like, we need to go back and read Harry Potter and we need to go back and watch all the movies.
The only debatable thing in Harry Potter.
Is which one's best?
No.
Hufflepuff sucks.
No, I'm talking about like book and movie, which
first
one's
off,
better.
First off, book, Prisoner of Azkaban.
If you don't say Goblet of Fire, I'm going to be so mad. Goblet of Fire is by far the best book.
God damn it, Joey.
It's so good.
That's such a Hufflepuff thing to say.
I'm not a Hufflepuff.
That is such a fucking Hufflepuff, thing to say.
No, Joey, don't get mad. He's a fucking squib.
This is true.
He wouldn't even get
I am Ravenclaw through and through. I don't even want to be Ravenclaw. I'm so Ravenclaw. That's not a Ravenclaw thing. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Ravenclaw's just totally detached from everything. I don't even want to be a part of this. I'm Ravenclaw.
You're
I want to be
salty
Gryffindor.
That you're not Gryffindor. That's what it is.
Yeah, everyone is. But you're Ravenclaw also, aren't you?
Yeah.
Nick, not everybody can be Gryffindor. It's not a big deal.
Kevin cheated it.
Kevin says that because he's a Hufflepuff.
By the way, Kevin is a fucking Slytherin, if I've ever seen a Slytherin in my entire life.
That is a filthy whore's lie.
Kevin is a Slytherin. Quilberg is a Slytherin. Tim is a Slytherin. They all come from they're a long lineage
Slytherin. I think Andy is too.
Andy is a fucking motherfucking Hufflepuff.
No.
Oh, yes.
Andy's like super schemey in a different, in a more low-key way.
Andy's like, hey guys, I just want everyone to be happy. We're all inclusive. Here, have some of my Cheerios that are tainted with my illness.
Andy never offers Cheerios.
Also
everyone just
Mark
goes
Wahlberg.
In and grabs Cheerios from Andy and he just doesn't say anything.
Andy's also Mark Wahlberg.
Andy is the physical embodiment of Mark Wahlberg as well. Greg? Greg's an interesting one.
Greg's definitely Gryffindor.
Gryffindor.
I would say he's Slytherin.
No
way.
No
way. He is a bully. He's a cyber bully.
He's not a bully.
No, he's like Superman.
I will put Greg Gryffindor. Who else works in this office? Andrea? She's probably Gryffindor too.
Yeah, Andrea's badass. She's definitely Gryffindor.
She's the Gryffindor Ravenclaw.
Gary would have walked by. Do you want to put him in the house?
I don't know Gary well enough.
Gary probably would be Ravenclaw as well, if I had
Gary
to guess. I don't know Gary that well,
Gary
but he strikes
me as a Ravenclaw.
He strikes me as a Ravenclaw. He definitely strikes me as a Ravenclaw. No, I was going to say first off, the best book, Prisoner of Azkaban.
No, second the best off, book is Goblet of Fire.
I'm the keeper of six things, really. Okay. Number six, which is the best Harry Potter book? Number seven, what is the only thing I would go back and change by Harry Potter? Harry belongs with Hermione.
I don't argue that.
Hermione.
Nobody in their right mind would put Harry with Ginny, okay? Yeah. She's super cute, don't get me wrong. And she does have that, hey, it's my best friend's little sister kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
God.
We've all been there.
No.
Right? We have. When I was in high school, I hooked up with my best friend's little sister. And it was hot.
No.
H-A-W-T.
Stop. I don't have any siblings.
Well, I was like 16.
But I feel like I would be weirded out by that.
I think I was 17, she was like 15. So it was on the level. It wasn't like anything was crazy, but we only made out a little bit because I was like, I didn't have sex until I was 21. I waited. Because abstinence is rightstinence. What's the saying?
The
only best way is no way. God, I was a late bloomer. I was such a fucking nerd. No, but I do remember making out with my best friend's little sister. It was like, we're sneaking around
something
his
about
back.
Some things about being
it
taboo.
It was very taboo.
Kind of
and then he found out about it, and he was like, whatever. And I was like, well, that doesn't make it. That's not sexy
it's
anymore.
It's like, if you're not against this, and that's like half the fun.
Yeah, it was bad. But it was one of those situations. It just was like, that. We came together. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to get into that. Long story short, Harry belongs with Hermione. We're in subscriber-only mode now.
I'm okay with that.
Let's talk to the chosen few. Remember, if you want to be a subscriber, Amazon Prime is your best bet, or you can give us your hard-earned money.
This is also true. Heading to SF for the first time in December for work. Anything I absolutely have to see, given I don't have too much time outside of work to see the city. By Strike 14? I feel like you have to see the Golden Gate Bridge. I feel like that's like a San Francisco staple. So I wouldn't like bike ride it or walk it. That's going to take way too much time. I feel like you just need a good vista point so that you can take cool pictures in front of it.
That's fair.
Is there
fair.
A restaurant that has a view of it that you can go to eat at? Knock out two stones.
I'm sure there are, but I don't feel
right
like I ever...
Off the top of my hand. Maybe a bar?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't feel like I don't ever go that far north.
No one ever does.
Let's see what people are saying here. JR18 says, Nick, GSP or BizBang? GSP all the way.
I have no idea what you just said.
UFC thing, don't worry about it.
It's a wrestling thing.
Harry and Luna forever. Are you out of your fucking mind? Oh, someone else was like, I don't know about Harry and Hermione, but Hermione and Ron is totally right. Ron's a fuck up the entire time, and Hermione's like, I'm hanging out with Harry, who's clearly a guy that's got a lot of shit going for him. Ron's just gonna go run a joke shop. Harry's a fucking leader of the Order, who's probably gonna be Ministry of Magic at some point. You know, Hermione's Ministry of Magic, they're on the same level. They would have been a power couple. Their kids would have been amazing. They would have done great things, great terrible things, as they say in the books. Mm-hmm. Ron and Hermione, it's like, can't find my ass from holy ground, Ron. Cool Greg's just shaking his fucking head. He's like, bro, this is canon. You're messing with my life. You're messing with my life.
Michel 496 says, Joey, so your type is tall, dark, and muscular. I mean, historically, I've been to, like, tall, white, nerdy dudes, but I don't feel like I really have a type.
Oh, let's take one more, and then we'll round this out just right at the 12 o'clock hour. Da, 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 da. Come on, people.
Questions.
Oh, Panzer 2 says, Nick, did you watch Sugar Pine 7's The Woods? Do you like it, and would you guys ever consider doing your own shorts? We talk about doing shorts all the time. I've always wanted to do a horror short. I did not watch The Woods yet. We have been promoting that, obviously, because we love those guys. We met them down at the Let's Play reunion. They're really good guys. But one of the reasons why I'm protesting the film is that they didn't ask me to be in it.
Oh.
Did they know who I was before they made the film?
Probably not.
No.
No, they definitely
I watched
did.
It.
We met them. Remember?
Oh, that's right. We did. Because they weren't shooting it yet.
Sin
so
totally knows who you are.
They did. And Kim. I don't think they...
I know,
it's Kim.
Joey. It's a joke.
It's not a good one.
Yeah, they didn't ask me to be in it, so...
I mean, they got Elliot Morgan.
He is the better, taller version of... Actually, he's the better, taller version of Anthony Carboni, who is the better better version of me.
I don't know. I feel like Anthony Carboni... I feel like...
You think Anthony's better than Elliot Morgan?
Yeah.
Well, bold. I don't know about that.
Bold Sorry. Shots fired.
Ladies. I've also never met Elliot Morgan. Also, I watched The Woods yesterday before working. It
was
really
it okay?
good. It was really good. I liked it.
That's exciting.
It's on YouTube now.
No,
not
I
just
know.
Rooster Teeth First.
I know.
Whoo! Go watch that right now while you're doing that. You know, you have about probably 5 minutes before the next show. Why don't you go watch The Woods real quick, but stick around because Greg and Gary Witta are coming back with Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're very excited about that. Joey, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on. It's always fun
always
when we get
fun.
To hang out and
I know.
Chat.
It's cool. We chat about like good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Films and sexual harassment.
Lighthearted topics.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow on The Cleanse, but everyone stay tuned. Greg and Gary are up next. Thanks so much. Love you. I'll be back to read subscribers in a second.